Hey everybody, it's a good day for a good day, and it's a good day to praise the Lord and give Him glory with our lives. So, here we go. Oh, I want to make my life all about Your glory. I want to spend my days telling the world Your story. And everything I do, everything I say, following after You, all giving You thanks and praise. I want to make my life all about Your honor, morning, noon, and night, the best I want to offer. In everything I do, in everything I say, following after You, all giving You thanks and praise. All right, make me an instrument. Make me an instrument. Make me a song of praise. Make me a shining light that radiates Your ways. Make me Your masterpiece. Lord, put me on display. Your glory. I want to spend my days telling the world Your story. In everything I do, everything I say, following after You, all giving You thanks and praise. I want to make my life all about Your honor, morning, noon, and night, the best I want to offer. In everything I do, yeah, in everything I say, following after You, oh, giving You thanks and praise. Make me an instrument. Make me a song of praise. Make me a shining light that radiates Your ways. Make me Your masterpiece. It's all about Your glory, Your honor. That's what I want my life to be. All about Your goodness, Your kindness, Your life in me, ever reaching at Your mercy, forgiveness. That's what I want my life to be. All about Your love and Your power, Your life in me, ever reaching at Your glory, Your honor. That's what I want my life to be. All about Your goodness, Your kindness, Your life in me, ever reaching out Your mercy, forgiveness. That's what I want my life to be. All about Your love, Your power, Your life in me, ever reaching out. Let's make this our life prayer today. Your glory, Your glory, Your glory. Oh, Your glory, Your honor. That's what I want my life to be. All about Your goodness, Your kindness, Your life in me, ever reaching out Your mercy, forgiveness. That's what I want my life to be. All about Your love, Your power, Your life in me, ever reaching out. I believe in Jesus, all my hope. in Him alone. You can sing with me. Oh, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe in Jesus. He's my Lord. He's my God, yes. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe in Jesus. Oh, my hope is in Him alone. What endless joy I find when I shout I am His and tell the world He's mine. What unexplainable peace to have surrendered my life to the God who loves me. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe in Jesus. He's my Lord. He's my God. Oh, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe in Jesus. All my hope is in Him alone. I was created for this. I was created for this. To ever trust and believe in someone greater than me. So on this rock I will stand. I will shout unashamed, my Savior's glorious name. And I love to say it, I love to shout it, I will declare it. Chorus one more time. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe in Jesus. He's my Lord. He's my God. Oh, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe in Jesus. All my hope is in Him alone. All my hope, all my hope is in Him alone.
Amen. What a blessing just to be able to shout that out. I mean, that's one of the great blessings and the power of worship is to declare with your mouth, with your body, your soul, your spirit. I do believe, even though I have doubts sometimes, God helps us with our unbelief. I stand before you and you stand in your house or in the field or in the church or wherever you are and you say, I am one of them. I'm a believer. I'm a man, it's going to be a man of faith by the power of the Spirit. We're going to sing, Oh, the Deep Love of Jesus. Such a beautiful hymn. It says, vast, unmeasured, and leading us onward, leading us homeward to His throne above. Aren't you grateful today that the love of Jesus is a love that endures forever? I can't remember which psalm it was, but it's a long, long psalm, and it just keeps repeating over and over and over again. And His love endures forever. That means it's not going to run out on you or on me. That's a good enough reason to just keep worshiping all day, that His love endures forever. So this is called, Oh, the Deep Love. And oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast unmeasured, boundless free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness. And underneath me and all around
Judge and make things right, turn all the dark to light. When he splits the eastern sky, with heaven's wings I'll fly. And I will say goodbye to these tears I've cried. Around his throne of grace, we'll see him face to face. With those who've gone before, we'll be apart no more. And we will hear the sound as all are gathered around. Like peals of thunder loud, we will shout.
Hallelujah! Faith that lasts inside, no more fears and doubts to fight. In heaven's choir we'll be, with robes of majesty. From sin and death now free, all we will say. Hallelujah, hallelujah. and sing to the King of Kings. What a day that will be, when His glory we will see, when I'll bow and sing to the King.
We will shout, we will sing, we will shout.
Wasn't that a great video? Our Kids Church team provides weekly content for your kids and for families to help you grow in Jesus together. Go to our website or check out our YouTube page to view the videos. Well, welcome everyone. I am so glad you're with us today, and a special welcome to any guests or visitors for joining us. As you may have heard, we are resuming indoor services at our Eagle Rock campus starting Sunday, May 23rd. To help us plan, please RSVP online for the first two weekends of our indoor services for yourself, family, and your children from birth to fifth grade for Kids Church. Services will be at 9 and 11:15 a.m. on Sundays in the South Sanctuary. Go to our website to RSVP or to get more information. Thank you for your ongoing generosity. To give, go to our Christian Assembly LA app or our website and click on the Give tab. And may you be blessed as you give. We'll be taking communion today later in our service, so get your bread and juice ready. And now let's turn our attention to Tom and today's sermon.
Hey, welcome everybody. Great to be with you, a visitor or guest. My name is Tom. Tony Lissardello generally is considered the greatest baseball scout of all time. Though he scouted a part of the country not known for producing much baseball talent, 52 of the young prospects he signed became major league stars, and two of them became Hall of Famers. He didn't use a radar gun or a stopwatch like most other scouts. He didn't use those things because he believed those things measured present performance, not future growth. Instead, Tony's unparalleled success was due to looking for an inner quality, what he called coachability. He said he looked for who was humble in attitude and open to instruction. He could then see how a prospect would then grow up and play years down the road if given the right guidance under top-flight coaches. You know, in many ways, as we come to Jesus, the goal then is for us to not only come to him, but to grow up and become all that God has given us the potential to be. And that will happen if we stay humble in attitude and open to instruction from God's words. Let's consider that. But before we do, let's pray. God, we thank you for your word and specifically the book of 1 Peter that we're in this series. We pray that you would speak to us. Lord, like those baseball prospects, would you make us coachable to you, teachable, humble, and ready and willing to want to grow in accordance with your word, we pray. Amen. Well, we pick up the book of 1 Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. And in those verses, in this section, we will find a goal and then an explanation of what we need to do to put into place to accomplish that goal or that command. It begins this way. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. So what's the goal here? Very simply, the goal is grow up. The whole first chapter of Peter's letter talked about the new birth into a living hope that we have and we can have through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Now, to me, there is nothing better than a newborn baby. I love their little baby toes. I love their little baby cheeks. And I love their little baby breath. Babies are the best. But you know what's not the best? When we get older, but we don't grow up. When a baby acts like a baby, it's cute and it's endearing. But when adults act like babies, it's not so cute and not so endearing anymore. Years ago, one of my friends was on a plane with one of his friends, and they were seated in a row, and in front of them, there were two guys seated in the row in front who apparently didn't know each other and got into an elbow wrestling match for space on the armrest between their seats on the plane. My friend said he turned to his other friend and he said, kind of in a whisper, like, is this really happening? Well, it got so bad that the flight attendant had to intervene between the two grown men and ask for my friend to switch seats with one of them because the two of them couldn't get along about the armrest. The point is, they were grown adults acting like children. Now, maybe when you were a kid, your parents, you know, would always use that statement of grow up like an angry command, like grow up. But that's not how Peter uses it here. In fact, he doesn't say it as a command. It's not an imperative in the Greek. He says it as a goal, as a hope, as a desired end that is good for you and good for me. Being a newborn is amazing, he's saying, but that's not the end goal. The goal is for us to grow up in our salvation. So how do we actually do that? Well, he gives us three practical ways for us to grow up into our salvation. The first one is this: drink in God's word every day. What did you drink in to your soul, your heart, your mind this week. Did you know that the average American currently spends almost 2.5 hours on social media every day? Now think about this with me. If you spend 2 hours a day on social media, that equals spending one entire month out of your year on social media. That's crazy, right? Now listen, I'm not anti-social media, and I'm on social media as well, but I am anti-spending 1 month a year on it. And all of those scrolls that are happening, you're drinking in a lot of whatever just happens to pop up. And we all know that not all of it is true or kind or helpful. Not all of it is going to help you grow. Your life will move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And your strongest thoughts are formed by what you decide to drink in, what you decide to nourish yourself with. As an old mentor of mine used to say, garbage in, garbage out, Tom. Goodness in, goodness out. So if you want to grow up, including getting rid of malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all kind of slander, as Peter says, Peter then goes on and says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. You know, babies grow by drinking milk, and they drink lots of it. They drink it several times a day, not one glass on Sunday and then another glass the next Sunday. For some of you, the only time you drink in God's word is through these messages on the weekends. But imagine if a mother only fed her baby one day a week. If a mother did that, we would consider that child abuse. And yet that's some of what some of us do with our own hearts and souls. And then what would happen to that baby? Well, even if it even survived, it would grow up malnourished with serious growth defects along the way. By using the metaphor of a newborn baby, Peter is telling us, if you want to grow up in your salvation, then you have to think about what you think about. And you must drink in God's word every day, even many times a day. Now, why is God's word so essential for growth? Because only God's word is living and enduring. Everything else in this world, no matter how amazing it might be, is temporary. As Peter said last week in chapter 1, verse 23, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, and here it is, through the living and enduring word of God. It's interesting to me as I've gotten older, how what seems to be such an amazing accomplishment in one generation, what seems to be so solid and so remarkable and so secure, ends up being forgotten in time. In fact, sometimes it doesn't even take that long. Case in point, this week I was reading about Alex Rodriguez, known as A-Rod, a famous baseball player, best known for being selected 14 times to the All-Stars. 3 times as the American League MVP and a World Series title with, in my opinion, the much-hated Yankees. But he's about to become the new owner of the NBA franchise, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Well, a few weeks ago, Anthony Edwards, who plays for the Timberwolves, was asked in an interview if he was an A-Rod fan. And he seemed perplexed by the question. He said, a fan? Who is he? He knew he was going to become the owner, but he didn't know anything else about him. You see, only God's word is lasting. So drink it in every day because it endures. And it teaches us about what will endure and what will matter, not just for the moment, but for the long run. Charles Spurgeon once said it this way, nobody ever outgrows scripture. The book widens and deepens with our years. Let me ask you, do you have a daily time reading and thinking about God's word, the Bible? If not, you're missing your chance to grow and all the goodness that comes into your life from that, the greater peace and purpose and confidence and love and joy and endurance and more. If you do have a daily time in God's word, make certain you intentionally connect it to your life. I always ask myself at the end of my time in God's word, how will I be different today because of my time with God and how I think, act, and live? You know, if you're the average American, if you cut your social media time in half, that will give you 1 hour and 14 minutes of time to be in God's word every day. You know, one of my favorite songs by Tommy Walker says it this way: man's thoughts and plans, they will come to an end, but your word, God, will be the last word. The second way Peter tells us to grow up in this goal that we have is to build on God's cornerstone every day. Each one of us is building or aligning our lives on something or someone. Now, we don't build our lives all at once. We do that slowly, day by day, choice by choice, every day. Peter says to grow up, you're going to need to be built up in Christ. In chapter 2, verse 4, it continues saying, as you come to him, meaning Jesus, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. Now, in ancient buildings, the fate of all the other stones in the building depended on the condition of the cornerstone. If the cornerstone was square and true and strong enough to bear the weight of the walls, then the future of the whole building was good. But if the cornerstone was bad or not square or weakened in some ways, eventually the whole building would collapse. The reason for this is that ancient builders would take their sightings from the cornerstone and they would lay all the other stones in alignment with the cornerstone. So then a great building needed a great cornerstone that was properly set, which then would allow all the other walls to be true in their alignment and the appropriate angles to happen as well. But if the cornerstone was not true and not square and not set properly, then the walls over time would warp and wobble and eventually collapse. You know, in a way, we people pronounce a kind of judgment on ourselves one way or the other. When we see Christ aright, you respond to God's work in you, being built into God's house. But when you see Christ wrongly, then you choose to discard him and build your life on something else or someone else who ultimately will fail, leading you to stumble and to fall. You see, when the pressure of life bears down on you, there's only one cornerstone capable of handling the weight. When you need guidance and it's urgent need for true guidance, there is only one cornerstone you can trust to keep your life straight and on track. You know, Christ isn't just a rock. He's the cornerstone. But notice also, it's not just you and Jesus. It's us and Jesus. That's why the stones are plural. You can't build a house with just a cornerstone and one other stone. No, you need a bunch of them, all connected together, all in alignment with the cornerstone. And I know that many of you are experiencing this by being connected through life groups, and I want to applaud you in that. In fact, in this past week, I've had several people tell me just kind of in conversation what a joy and a lifeline their life group has been or their recovery group or their Bible study tables group has been. And for those of you that are involved, way to go, way to go. And thank you to all the leaders who are leading that. For others of you, maybe you're new or maybe you're a regular with us on the weekends, but you've not yet gotten connected relationally to others in this church. If that's you, then your next step to grow is to join a group here at CA, whether a life group, a women's Bible study table group, one of our recovery groups, or a men's group. Any of our pastors can help you do that, or you can check out our website for that, or even call the church office if need be. But do what you need to do to get connected. The potential of this church called Christian Assembly lies in God at work in each one of us, building us to one another as well as to the cornerstone as we're living stones together. You know, each decision we make to grow up, each time we rid ourselves of childish ways, each time we choose to align with Jesus, God's chosen cornerstone, each time we give some of ourselves to one another, motivated by God's love in that alignment, we grow up. We become stronger living stones for the house that God is building among us. The third and final way to grow up, we hear from Peter, is this, is that we need to excel at God's purpose every day. God has a purpose for our lives. Here it is. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who has called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." You know, much of 1 Peter is a contrast between the old and the new. Once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but if you are in Christ, now you have. And all of this is not just for ourselves. We have a role to play beyond ourselves. As we just read, that you may declare the praises of him who calls you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. You know, one of the key identities that Peter gives us here is this phrase, a royal priesthood. It's interesting because that word priest, it literally means bridge builder. So then you, if you are in Christ, are a royal bridge builder. And that happens when you tell the story of God's work in your life and you declare God's praises. And when we do that, God uses that as a bridge for others to come to God through Jesus Christ. Every Christian must always remember that only yesterday we were on the out, and that only by God's grace have we been brought in and received mercy and made a member of God's people. And the great story that God has authored and continues to author, who knows who will find mercy and light tomorrow and who will be included in God's dear people. In elementary school, I grew up with a kid named Rob Henderson. And I remember two things about Rob. I remember him being really funny, and I remember him always getting into trouble and going to the principal's office. Rob was the first kid I really knew who used drugs. He started using drugs at the age of 12 years old. And over the years, I lost touch with Rob until 3 weeks ago when a mutual friend sent me a video. Now, rather than me telling you Rob's story, I want you to hear Rob's story and God's work in his life from him. So take a look and a listen to Rob's story.
It was about 3 years ago now that I had found some drugs in my house. I confronted Rob and he lied. And he said, those aren't mine. And I said, oh, okay, well then you wouldn't mind taking a drug test, right? And he's like, no, those aren't mine, but I have been doing some drugs, so the test would be positive. You don't have to give me a test. We went to talk with the pastor, and what I didn't know then, what I know now, is Rob was lying to Pastor Jeremiah and lying to me just about how bad it was, I would say. So we left, and I kind of felt like, okay, everything's gonna be all right. We're gonna get back on track. Life's gonna be normal again. I was so wrong. The next 2 months, I would say, were probably the worst 2 months of my life. Things got progressively worse fast.
I had been getting high since I was 12, and I never really stopped. In 2010, I got saved, and I kind of thought I had a handle on it, but I really never truly stopped completely. So when I got married, I thought I was okay. I thought getting married would help, and, you know, being in the church would help, and it turns out my addiction was full-blown really, really quickly after the marriage. Yeah. So now, 4.5 years later, she finds some drugs in the house. I downplay it. We go to Jeremiah, tell him, taking a couple pills for pain here and there. Yeah. I realize, looking back, that I had a real big problem with God. And the God that I thought I understood wasn't the God I know now. And I got saved, and I believed the gospel when I got saved, but I still had a real big problem with God. I had a lot of questions for God when I got clean. I wanted some answers for why this happened. Why was I left in such a mess? Why was I left without a mother? Why was I left to this abusive alcoholic father? Where were you? I could just feel God's presence on me, and I could hear his voice just comforting me and basically making me okay with not getting answers, right? God let me understand that I wasn't really looking for answers from him. I just wanted to tell him how mad I was. So he let me just tell him. He just let me spend, I don't know, 12 hours straight, I told him. I told him every terrible thing I thought about him, how I would never be that kind of a guy. I would never do that. I just told him how broken I was. And something changed. Something changed that night in that rehab on that floor. I was laying on the floor sick, really sick, and I was really willing, though, at this point, and I could really just feel God's presence there with me, and God spoke to my heart, and he told me, I was always there. I never left you. I'm here now with you, and I rescued you your whole life. Your whole life, I've been running to your rescue. Your whole life. Always thought I had to be good enough for anyone to love me, and I could never be good enough. But God, so God told me in that rehab, I will never stop rescuing you ever. Go tell them who rescued you, and just live for me, and they'll know me based on that.
Isn't it amazing, the story of God at work, calling someone out of the darkness into the wonderful light? You know, one of the things that was not mentioned in the video is that Rob actually wrote a letter to our mutual friend's parents, thanking them for all the ways that when he was growing up as a kid on their street, they pointed him to Jesus when he was a little kid, planting the seeds of the gospel. And one of the things I love about Rob is that now he's involved in a local church in Pittsburgh, and he actually is one of the leaders of their recovery ministry. It's amazing how God is at work using someone to be a royal priest. Who has God put around you for you to live out your identity as a royal, part of the royal priesthood, a royal bridge builder for the glory of God and the good of others? Around here, we talk about worship, family, kingdom. And that's the pattern we just saw again in God's word in this part of 1 Peter. Worship, drinking God's word every day. Family, be built on God's cornerstone, Jesus Christ, every day. And by so doing, be connected to one another as living stones. And kingdom, excel every day at God's purpose of declaring the wonderful praises of him who called you out of darkness into the glorious light. And by so doing, become the royal bridge builder that God calls each one of us to be. As we prepare our hearts and minds for the communion table now, will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your living and enduring word. Please strengthen us now as we come to your table. In fact, this table is open to all. And if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, the only condition of you coming to the table is that you give your life to Christ. And I want to give you that opportunity now. If you've never said yes, you can pray with me and just say, God, I'm saying yes to you now. Forgive me of my sin and save me because of Jesus and his work on the cross and his life and death and resurrection. Teach me to follow you all the days of my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit, drinking in your word every day, staying aligned with you every day, and declaring your purposes every day, your praises every day. For those of you that are Christians already, I want to encourage you, take a moment now and just prepare your hearts as we come to God's table. So God, now we pray that you would just search us. If there's any way offensive in us, that you would bring that to mind now, that we might confess it to you and receive forgiveness from you. Maybe God's bringing something to mind, just confess it to him now. For others of you, it might just be a sense of joy and delight that God's bringing to mind. And just thank him for that, his goodness in your life. Well, on the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus Christ took a loaf of bread. He had gathered his disciples and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat this, do this in remembrance of me." You can go ahead now and take a piece of the bread, remembering what Christ has done for you. Thank you, Christ, for all that you've done for us. Likewise, after supper, he took a cup of wine and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant based upon the shedding of my blood. As often as you do this, drink this in remembrance of me." And now you can take a bit of your juice as well, remembering what Christ has done. So Christ, I thank you and remember what you've done for me and for your bride, the church. Well, church, it's great to celebrate communion with you, and may you experience God's communion with you both now and throughout this week, remembering that he's the cornerstone, the living word, and he's invited you to a great purpose to be part of the royal priesthood that he's building of every tribe, of every tongue, and of every nation. Thanks, everyone.
Your word will be the last word. Your promises will stand forevermore. Man's thoughts and plans will come to an end, but your word will be the last. Your word says I'm forgiven. Your covenant says you will always be with me. Though some may scoff and write me off, your word will be the last word. Your word, it is my guiding light. It comforts me when in the deepest, darkest night, troubles come or troubles go, but in my heart I'll always know that your word be the last word. And man in all his wisdom and all his foolish pride puts his hope in only things he can see with his eyes. Claiming to be wise, they became as fools instead. But Lord, I'm banking all my faith in the truths of what you said. And your word will be promises are gonna stand forever and ever and evermore. Man's thoughts and all his plans, they're gonna come to an end. But your word, Lord, will be the last word. Your word will be the last word.
Thank you for being with us today. If you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during our service or would like to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, let us know so we can have a pastor follow up with you. You can email us at the address below or go to our webpage. And now let me close our time with this benediction from 2 Peter. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. God bless you. See you next week.